Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Willard Sapriston, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors, Saturday, November 25th, 2017. We are live. Call us 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. If you're listening tonight on the rebroadcast from 12 to 1, we're not here. Or if you're listening to our archive shows at sapriston.com, we're not here or there. I guess we're there, but we're not answering
apparently,
the phone.
Apparently we're not anywhere.
We're not anywhere.
But anyway, what about live streaming?
You can do live and streaming on your computer, which I do in Florida.
Going to our website.
Which is great, sapriston.com, with free economic research from Storm McCarthy every Saturday morning. I looked at the interest rate vignettes this morning. I did not read it. And, Peter, I'm very surprised at the strength of the market. Pleasantly surprised.
Well, I get tired of everybody touting big corrections coming, and you know they have to keep doing it because eventually they'll be right. You know, so that's all you can do is keep telling people. And also, that's how you get business, make people worry, frighten people.
Is that how you do it?
That's how it works.
Well, I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah, that's how it works. You know, no question about it. Frighten them, get them worried, and then maybe you get business or something like that.
Give us a ring at 803-0321 right now, 803-0321 or 1-800-879-7541, the Dollar Doctors. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are we?
How are you?
Good.
Well, my favorite stock took a hit.
It did?
Yeah.
My, where to close?
432.
Holy cow. I lost track of it. What did it happen, Friday? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was a Black Friday sales.
I guess it must have been.
What's the symbol on that favorite stock?
We usually don't tell people.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That one's over your amount.
Yeah, that's okay. We could say it's actually not a penny stock. So
no, not anymore.
NSRPF, you know.
Oh, you have that memorized.
Oh, I got it on my screen all the time, but I didn't watch it Friday.
Lots of things happened Friday.
Why did that happen?
Did
somebody steal their gold or something?
I'm an expert, and I'm certainly not an expert in this, but I just think some people were taking their profits because there's some really, supposedly, really good information coming out, and some of it came out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it had something to do with shorts. I'm just poking a stick here.
They used the good news to get out, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm just guessing. But for me, it's time to buy more.
No, I figured it would be.
Now, here's a query I have.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I remember some young man was buying and selling stock before he ever paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed the law.
Yeah, that's a heck of a thing. It used to do free riding, you know.
Is that what it was called?
I don't know why they got rid of that, but yeah. Yeah, it's called free riding because you were you know, trading stock on unsettled funds, okay? You know, the money hadn't really come into the account yet. You know?
Okay. And then they changed the law where it was, what, 5 days?
Well, no, they changed the law that there's like you have to have an account that's $25,000 or more to be able to do day trading, all right? And if you have an account under $25,000, you can only do 3 every 5 days, you know.
Okay.
Day trading.
Now,
but you always have to do it with, unless it's a margin account. Okay, if it's not a margin account, you got to do it with settled funds, right?
With cash.
And they changed settlement, right?
Yeah.
To 2
yeah.
days.
So. Well, it makes it a little easier now because now you only have to wait 2 days to get your settled funds. Yeah.
Now here's my quandary, mm-hmm. though, something I don't understand. I put some dry powder in the mail.
Yep.
On Friday.
Okay.
And it should be in my account by Monday or whatever. If I call you on Monday and it's not posted, can I still buy?
Yeah, because you have 2 days.
2 days, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you have 2 days to pay for it.
As long as we agree to advance the funds when the check doesn't come in.
But yeah, assuming it doesn't come in. But yeah,
well, I mean, right.
but they'll wait 2 days to see
it
whether.
It does. I'm a trusted customer.
Right.
So I will be calling you early on Monday, Peter.
Okay.
Well, you got to wait for the mail, right?
Right. Okay.
It's just if you're on margin, it's easier, right, Peter?
Well, it's easier, but you know the bottom line.
But
is,
you can't margin a stock under $5.
I mean, you could always, you know, if you're a known customer, mm-hmm. right, and you said. You know, and second of all, you can buy stock and say, I'm sending the check in and assume it's going to get in there in 2 days. The problem is now I don't know if you can trust 2 days, right? It used to be
not,
3 days.
And certainly not
right?
at Christmas time
right,
with
yeah.
all the cards
yeah.
and stuff.
But,
wow.
but that's what the way it always used to work, you know, in other words,
so
as long as the check came in within the settlement period, you were okay.
Right.
You know? Yeah,
so, well, I'll be calling you anyway.
Yeah.
And you can get extensions from that.
I'm sure.
As long as the management likes you,
right?
Which I think they do.
I think we like him.
Yeah. I think we like him.
Right. Some other people call you the dreamer. They don't like you, but that's beside the point.
well, this dreamer has about 2 inches of thick paperwork on Novo.
Well, you're building up a big file. I just hope you don't have to burn it in the end. You know, so
well, one,
you can
one
use it to heat
the
house.
Recently, when they found those actual nuggets,
mm-hmm.
and then they did the test, and it came out to 2.16 ounces.
Yeah, some amazing amount per ton. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that they released, and they're doing a drilling. They've done drilling, but they haven't released everything yet mm-hmm. because they're still analyzing it. Is that 100 miles away they found the same stuff.
Okay.
And what are we supposed to derive from that?
It's on their property?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Does that mean there's a vein going that far?
It's very hard to explain. Yeah.
It's hard to explain, but, you know.
Well, this is actually not a vein. It's actually nuggets.
Yeah, they actually pick them up right off the ground.
Right.
You know?
And then and another thing that was released, too, that this has been mined. Not really, not mine, but where nuggets have been picked up
mm-hmm.
and small, whatever you would call it, just small holes. They've been doing this for 130 years there.
Well, I'm surprised that their properties are not overrun with people digging.
Well, it's starting to get overrun now.
Right. Because if I knew I could just find gold on the surface. You know,
well,
right?
one of the old prospectors that have been there forever, In one of his recents, he found like $40,000 worth of nuggets.
Boy.
Sorry. Yeah, if I was younger and more. Well, you know, technically it is their property. They could say you're not supposed to be on it.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm amazed, really. Yeah. But
well,
maybe we're going to start a gold rush to Australia, you know.
Well, that's basically what they're saying, that this may.
I'm calling the travel agent Monday, and Peter and I are going there for a week.
Rush.
Right.
We're gonna make our money in a week.
There you go.
And then all the other, you know, the bitcoins and all that money will come out of those and go into gold again.
Well, that
Whether
would be
that happens or not, who knows?
Who knows? That's right. I agree
but
with
I,
you.
I've talked to some people that I know that have been investing since they could, and they're in their 70s. Mm-hmm. And they said, we just don't understand Bitcoin.
No, I don't think anybody really. I don't understand it either.
I don't either.
But, you know, the interesting thing is also something called, it's not Bitcoin, it's or something like it. It's Ethereum, it's called, or something like that.
Okay.
And it has something to do with the platforms and everything, you know, like blockchain and so forth. But you can invest in these things, which are EOS, you know.
Right.
Ethereums, you know, which are only, right now, they've only gone from 200 to 700, see.
Right.
And some people are saying this is just the beginning for this thing, you know.
Well, everybody's going to, they're going to throw that stuff out all the time.
Well, there's a bit of a mania going on, because if anybody's noticed, any little stock that's involved with blockchain technology.
Okay.
Or they're investigating cryptocurrencies, been going berserk.
Right.
Then there was one like Riot, R-I-O-T. I think it went from 8 to 24 in 2 days, right?
Oh, jeez.
And just because they said they were buying a blockchain company, right?
Yeah, but if you look at CME, which is the futures in
right.
Chicago, that's gone up because they're going to start trading
futures.
Futures on Bitcoin. And
oh, really?
And some people think it's going to bring down the world economy because futures are leveraged and there's no way to actually deliver Bitcoin.
Huh.
Whereas you could deliver, you know, gold if you had gold futures or oil or whatever.
Right.
Right. And you'd be talking about another unregulated derivative, which we all remember from the mortgage
days.
It would
be really
right?
A derivative on a derivative.
Right, yeah. So.
Yeah, if I can't touch it, I don't trust it.
But it is interesting that, I mean, all these little stocks have doubled, tripled, quadrupled. And Bloomberg just wrote, I think, over the weekend, they said blockchain is the latest pixie dust for stocks, you know.
Well, it's out of my league. I'm staying with something that I know a little bit about.
So Willard and I are investigating buying a little blockchain company. Then we can go public.
That's right.
Right.
Well, like I said, I'll be calling you early Monday.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, guys.
Right, thanks
you,
for calling.
Have
take
a great
care.
Weekend.
You too. Bye. You are listening to Willard Sapriston, Peter Greco of the Dollar Doctors live on ESPN 1520 at 10:15, Saturday, November 25th. Call us, 803-1520, 803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541. What's going on with interest rates?
Nothing.
Apparently, they've been just about the same, according to our website, where we go back a week, a month, and a year. 10 years been the same for a year.
Yeah, it'll
about
be
2.36, 2.35.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when the Fed raises their discount rate in, you know, December. So
things are acting like rates are going up.
Yeah, will it have any effect? They said that last week that the most ever was put money in a week or month, whatever it was put into TIPS.
The inflation bonds.
Inflation bonds, yeah. Right. Yeah, people were running in believing that, you know,
well, all the commodities
really
seem to have broken
up. Yeah, yeah, very interesting. And, you know, it's interesting on Fridays, the moves, like he said, his stock got hit on Friday. The week before, like, I think AMAT was one that got hit, you know. And, you know, so certain technology stocks got hit on a Friday. And this Friday, it was the Chinese stocks that got hit.
Yep.
You know, and it was interesting. I was looking. I said, boy, what happened here? You know, all these Chinese stocks are down today. And they mentioned in Barron's over the weekend that China's Shanghai Index on Thursday fell 2.3%, its largest drop since 2016. And apparently they say that China, which has allowed its shadow banking system to grow leading into this year's National Congress, is now putting the brakes on. And I guess that kind of worried people, you know, that China might be putting the brakes on their lending or their shadow banking. So that was an explanation for the drop. Remains to be seen, you know, whether there's any follow through at all, you know. And I guess right now, I'll just say the market keeps going up. Small caps were the strongest index last week. They actually doubled what the Dow and the S&P did. You know, the Dow and S&P were up about 0.9%.
Maybe we'll have something positive to talk about on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. The Russell was up 1.76%, you know, and doubled what the Dow and S&P did. And everybody keeps worrying. I always hear people, what do you think the market's going to really drop? Is it going to have a big correction? And I keep telling people the same thing. Just watch what you own. Stop worrying about the market, because you can't tell whether there's just going to be a rotation, or if there's going to be a big correction where everything goes down together, or it's going to be a rotational thing, or the market just keeps going slowly upward and grind slowly upward. So just watch what you're in and make sure you're protecting your profits and you know what you're doing. You know you have a game plan.
Wait a minute, who knows what they're doing?
Well, hardly anybody does.
Thank you.
But, you know, the thing is, there's nothing wrong. If you're worried about a correction, you have some nice profits, take some profits. You don't have to sell all of a position. You could sell half of a position, a quarter of a position. You know, have a plan as to what you want to do. So as the market goes up, some people could be selling a little bit each time, you know, every month, every quarter, whatever, you know, if that's what they're worried about, if they're worried about getting caught in some big correction. So,
sound advice.
Yeah, well, sometimes it is. You know, I wish I listened to myself half the time, because I wonder sometimes when you say A and do B, what's going on? Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's the problem. I say you're always your own worst enemy. What was the cartoon with the character, you know, where Lucy used to pull the ball away all the time?
Peanuts,
right? And I think it was in there. You know, I've seen the enemy, and it is us, right?
true.
Right. So it's not the market that does it to you, you know. And in the same groups, I always say, focus on the sectors. Stick to the sectors until they change, and they've been amazingly consistent this year. You know, semiconductors are still the top group for the year. I think they're still the top group for the last 6 months in performance, you know. So it's been pretty steady, and I think semiconductors as a group, if measured by the SMH, is up something like 46% this year. Just amazing.
Golly.
You know.
Golly
and,
gee.
And technology has been the second best sector, you know, and I think that's up in the 26, 27% range, something like that. I even see that the NASDAQ 100 is up over 31%, almost 32% this year. So those areas that have been strong, you know, until something changes, if you're paying attention, focus on the stocks in those sectors, you know.
Any feel for SQ?
SQ just keeps going up and up and up.
I know that.
It's getting to go vertical. What can I tell you?
When you look at the point and figure, it's long tail up, they call it.
SQ is square.
Yeah.
I just wish, you know, he did a better job on Twitter, you know. But
I think going back to Bitcoin, they said they're going to figure out how to accept Bitcoin in payments. It's like a PayPal. And I think that's what shot it up, you know, from high 30s.
Well, you know, that's still what I don't understand. How do you have a payment thing that fluctuates all over the place, can drop 20%, 30% in a day sometimes, all right? And how do you make that a payment mode? You know, somebody will have to explain that to me.
Well, if you take it in at noon for a payment, it could be down 20% by 4.
Exactly. You know, so you got to have
an instant conversion or something.
And I was just noticing I misspoke on technology. The XLK, you know, which is the Standard & Poor's Technology ETF, is up 33.4% this year. And, you know, so those are actually, they've been the same top two groups. And home builders have been up there all year. And there's the naysayers all the time.
Someone said to sell it because it went up too fast.
It went up too fast.
And since then, it's up another 2%.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, too, they've been saying home builders for a year now, stay away from home builders. Interest rates are going up. And now for the year, the home builders are up 24.8%. So, you know, don't pay attention to what everybody tells you all the time. You know, nobody knows. That's the catch. Nobody knows.
Twitter looks better.
Yeah, it's picking up all of a sudden.
After the gap, and seemed to have made a new high.
All of a sudden, it is picking up. But don't forget, I forgot where it was about a year ago or something like that. I think it was a lot higher. You know, no question about that at all. So, Right now, give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. And if you have a problem getting in, which it doesn't look like you should have right now, 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324.
Good morning, Victor.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good?
I'm waiting for some wisdom.
Well, I'll give you some wisdom today.
Good.
Are you caught up on your AAII journal?
Somewhat. I took it home and I read what interested me, and I brought it back to leave in the office for people to thumb through when they come in.
Well, as you know, that's a very good publication once a month, and the recent issue, they've had a model ETF portfolio now going on 13, 14 years. It's a combination of ETFs and mutual funds. They discontinued it as of the first of the month.
Because?
And the reason being is that they basically threw in the towel and said, we're unable to beat the SPY. That's basically the reason. So what they're doing now is, instead of publishing the ETF mutual funds, they got that, Bakunin came out with that book, that Level 3.
Yeah.
Portfolio. They're substituting that as far as what they're using to beat the S&P 500. They've actually discontinued the model portfolio of 14 years because it's too difficult to beat Spider. So
they may have had a flawed model.
Okay, so what model is out there then you think could beat SPY?
A relative strength model.
And who does the well?
I don't know who does it, but you can do it yourself. You know,
Peter, you keep bringing this up, but you know 95% of mutual funds. You think if it's capable of being done, some smart guy with a big computer hasn't done it yet? You keep saying this.
No, because it's easier for the individual to do it than it is for the big boys to do it.
Do you know an individual who's done this?
I know a couple of services, and I will bring them in next time, that have way outperformed the S&P by a mile.
What about O'Shaughnessy?
By a mile.
What about O'Shaughnessy, who really developed that whole relative strength thing?
How far have these services gone back? You know, Pete?
What's that?
How far have these services gone back?
For several years, Yeah.
Off the top of your head, you don't know the names of them.
Off the top, no, because I haven't. I'll go look it up. But the bottom line is, I know some individuals. As a matter of fact, I know one guy right now that, not doing an ETF model, but he's doing a trading model he uses, you know, on biotechs and small stocks and so forth and so on. And his mission in the next year is to go take 25,000 to a million. Right. And he's done it before, all right? And right now, after 1 month, he's up 200%, all right?
Well, knowing full well that most investor lifetime is 30 to 40 years. Let me finish it out.
Yep.
Looking at most investors start when they're in their 20s and go to when they're 60. That's a 40-year time span. So to mention 1 month or 6 months or 1 year or 5 year, does it really prove a point?
Well, he's done it for several years, okay? There's no question about it. He's done it for several years, all right? Consistently, yeah. I'm just saying there are people that can beat the S&P by a mile, okay?
How many individual investors out there?
But the individual investor, no, he can't do it, okay?
Okay, so
the average individual investor can't do it because he's got a sick head, all right?
Well,
he's learned a lot of bad information. He's psychologically unable to handle it, all right?
But this guy you're talking about, I'm sure, does it full time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the individual investor goes to work.
No, I agree. But I'm just saying there are people that can do it, okay? There are some people that can do it.
I would go look up O'Shaughnessy on the internet and see what happens, because he was one of the original relative strength guys. But again, if you've got a 9-to-5 job, you better just buy the SPY.
Well, Dave Willard, there's people who manage mutual funds that have an 8-to-6 job, And the fact is that 95% of mutual funds don't do it.
Oh, exactly, because they diversify.
So,
all right. The bottom line is, if you buy 2,000 stocks or whatever, you're mediocre. All right, when you're all said and done. All right.
But I agree with you.
In general, you're right. 90% of the mutual funds, depending over what time period, don't beat the S&P. That's not surprising.
And what percent of individual investors? 99.999?
Well, I don't know what that percent is. That could be don't beat the market. But, yeah, it's a very high percentage that wouldn't beat the market. No question about it. I'm just saying it can be done, all right? It can be done. But not for 99% of the people out there. No.
So I guess.
So you're right. I mean, you know.
A little bit of a tangent. I mean.
Yeah. I'm just saying it can be done. You know. But when everybody's doing the same thing, that's why they don't achieve anything. Okay.
It's like the sports bettor who picks 8 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The chance of somebody doing it out of the blue is.
Oh, right. Sure.
Against them.
Yeah, I've seen some guy who mathematically said there's always going to be somebody who's going to outperform by a lot just because of that, right?
Right. I guess we disagree.
No. Well, I'm agreeing with your general philosophy there that, you know, the average person, the average mutual fund cannot beat the S&P. You know.
And a couple years ago, you mentioned that Mark Menavaney.
Yeah.
Where's he been?
He doesn't publicly go out there, you know, with his record or anything. I think he was in the what was the book about the stock market wizards? He was
That's
mentioned
what it was
in there.
Called, I think.
Yeah, and what his track record was and so forth. He runs a service, pretty expensive. I've never tried it. Where he says he does very well. He teaches you for several thousand dollars how to do it yourself, you know.
I guess the point I'm saying is if you go 1, 5, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
some may do it.
Oh, yeah.
Buffett's the name on everybody's tongue. But the bottom line is if there was a guy who was doing it over 20 or 30 years, you and I would both have his name on the tip of his tongue as opposed to giving me this name a week from now. Don't you agree?
Well, I think Minervini has done it for 20, 25 years, all right?
If you could do that and had been successful, would you want anyone to know?
Well, that's why I question Minervini when he's selling his service.
Well, I mean, I've never tried it, so I can't say whether it's proven or not proven. But, you know, back then, back when the Stock Market Wizards was written, was 1990s, right, you know, during that time. And he already had a big track record for how well he'd done, you know.
Right. Let's get on another subject.
Okay.
This one. 60-40 total market versus long-term bonds, readjusting every 6 months. Do you think that's got a better chance of beating a spider than an ETF mutual fund index like the AAII did? 60-40 and then readjust? Is that a better chance?
Depending on the time period, because you won't have as big losses when the market has a tragic event.
You would readjust every 6 months? Is that a-
yeah, you would win. Because you have a lower beta, it's called.
So you would win. You would win.
You would win by not losing as much when the market, you know, like in 2002 and 2003, like in 2008. You would win in a 60-40 just because you wouldn't have dropped as much.
But a 9-year bull market like we're having now, you'd underperform, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the problem. How does an individual investor, I mean, if you could tell your number and you could retire on that number, you're probably better off going 60-40 readjust than SPY, correct?
That's fine. That's a good one.
As far as safety goes.
Yeah.
If somebody's hit their magical number, it would be better 60-40 readjust?
I think so.
Because you wouldn't take the chance of a big hit.
You would want, well, you'd have a hit, but it wouldn't be, you know, so bad. And you ought to be looking at the RSP too. Because the RSP is the equal weighted S&P, that's all.
They mentioned in this article, Willard, in the upcoming journal, that was the one that actually beat a SPY over the long term. Equally weighted.
I think it has the last 10 years anyways. And there's a way to do a relative strength calculation of one versus the other and stay in the one that's looking right. That's all.
Okay. So I'll look forward to hearing next week a couple of names, Peter, so I can research them.
Well, another guy, check out Zanger, Zanger. Okay.
Z-A-N?
Z-A-N-G-E-R.
Like zebra.
Right.
He's an individual investor or trader?
He's a trader, yep. He provides a service, too, and supposedly has a tremendous track record over the years, you know.
Okay, very good. Okay, guys, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you, Vic.
Bye, Vic.
We're going to break. I think we're going to break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
We're back. Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco, Dollar Doctors Live, Saturday, November 25th, 2017, on ESPN 1520. We are rebroadcast tonight from 12 to 1, where you can hear us all the way down to Miami on the Eastern Seaboard, 50,000 watts. And right now, call us live at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. The show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. We manage accounts. We give advice on transaction-type accounts. We have an internet platform. We can manage 403Bs and 401Ks away, leaving them where they are. We have a way to do that. And we do use a lot of relative strength ideas. All relative strength means is buy what's stronger. And free economic research at the website, Saperstein, SAPERSTON.com, with archive shows going way back. Peter?
Oh.
What did I forget?
I don't know. You covered everything. I always say go to the website. Contact information is at the website. And that's about it. That's our advertisement.
That's it.
And did you ever hear of Carl Sandburg?
I have.
Interesting quote. Everybody should pay attention to this quote, right? Time is the coin of your life. It is the only coin you have, and only you can determine how it will be spent. Be careful lest you let other people spend it for you. And if a lot of people would pay attention to that, because they go through their life worrying about other people, and I can't do this because that person might not like it, this person, he'd be in trouble if I don't do that. And you go through your whole life letting other people spend your coin, and your coin is all spent. And what'd you accomplish? Nothing. So pay attention to that, no question about it.
Good advice.
Yep, it is. I mean, a lot of people do that. They let other people spend their life. You know, I constantly.
I saw
hear
him
people,
once. You know, he was did you really? Yeah. In his 90s, and I was in my teens.
In his 90s, was he really?
Boy. Yeah.
Holy cow. Right now, you know, do give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And they had, you know, in Barron's where they have the other voices.
Yep.
Column. In the other voices column, a guy was saying why oil is going to $80 a barrel. And, what he uses, relationship between the spot price and the five-year forward price. And he says for a long time, the five-year forward price was higher than the current price, you know, which was an indication that there was not a lot of demand out there for oil. And it's changed right now where the spot price is higher than the five-year forward price, which says that the only way that would be is that demand is strong right now and getting stronger. And it was his argument for why he thinks you're going to see $80 a barrel, even though he thinks
oil... So we should all go out and buy V8s.
Well, the problem is, well, look at all the people who have SUVs, all right? You know, I mean,
yep.
I mean, I go into a parking lot. I say, what is this, SUV heaven here or something? You know, just unbelievable. But anyway, and everybody's going back to big, and they're driving trucks, and they're driving all sorts of things, so... I'm not saying you should go out and do that, but you know. But the bottom line is that if oil's $80 a barrel, you're not going to particularly like that, because gasoline will be significantly higher at that point, no question about it. And you know, but he's only projecting for the end of 2018, $60 a barrel. So I guess he's assuming at some point some supply might come into the market. But they said right now all the economies of the world are growing relatively nicely, and that's increasing, and probably why commodity prices are going up. And actually the material sector's been pretty strong. You know, the material sector's been picking up strength itself. So I think you are seeing a lot of demand, underlying demand. So I wouldn't be surprised he may be right on the price of oil. The interesting thing is that oil, I think, was around $57, $58 a barrel.
Yep.
Yet a lot of oil companies aren't really skyrocketing. You know, and I think there's a hesitancy out there like there
well,
was.
Well, we've been burnt before.
They've been burnt, yeah. And it's like, you know, I remember what Dan called about AMAT, and it got trounced with great earnings on last Friday. And I said, I don't put much stock in that, because it's the same thing that people start saying, oh, you know, AMAT's a cyclical semiconductor equipment maker. And we've seen this before, and this is probably the peak. So we better get out, you know. So it's the same thing with oil. They say, we've seen this before. We've seen the run-up. It doesn't mean anything. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to start producing, and prices will go down. So I don't think you've seen the reaction yet, you know, in the oil stocks, you know. Certainly, I think if oil goes over $60 a barrel, you may begin to see, you know, a reaction in the energy sector.
Agreed.
So very interesting. Of course, I know last week David was arguing with me. He said he thought he'd see 46 first. Before he saw 60. So I don't know. We're getting a little closer to 60. But I think, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, somebody said the end of bull markets come when some area gets, you know, overblown, gets mania. And you're definitely seeing that in this Bitcoin blockchain area. So something to keep an eye on, you know. And, you know, as a matter of fact,
don't rush in, you mean?
Well, no, I'm not saying don't rush in, but keep an eye on that. If you get a collapse in Bitcoin, you get a collapse in all of these mania going on in these blockchains, the manias can go on for a long time until they're over. You know, nobody knows when they're over. But, you know, but the bottom line is if that whole area starts to implode, that may be a signal that we may be in trouble in general. So it's something just to keep an eye on. I know one, you know, you ever seen what Overstock has done? You know,
yeah, I looked yesterday and I was sorry I hadn't bought it.
Yeah, but it's another one that's one of these plays, you know, on the ability to trade, you know, Bitcoin and so forth. They're involved somewhat in this area. I don't understand how, but ever since it's become known, Overstock's been going through the roof. It just keeps going up and up and up, you know. So
it's also one of my wife's favorite places
to
shop.
So, you know, I just tell people keep an eye on that, no question about it, you know. And, you know, trying to predict the end, I can't predict it. I don't think anybody can predict the end of anything. And I know, too, Barron's had an article on emerging market debt, and they still think that's the place to be. They said the emerging—
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. They said that, you know, the emerging market debt area has been up as much as 10-11% this year. If you invested in emerging market debt, and they still think that will continue. So it's an area people probably don't look at very much, and you know, it's something that people might consider. So you have to keep an idea of what's changing, what's in play, and what's continuing, you know.
So our friend Howard Ewart used to keep half cash so we could take advantage of opportunities. How much cash would you keep?
And how did he keep half cash?
Treasuries.
No, why? How did he manage to do that?
Well,
he never invested that half, or was he taking profits?
Both.
Then that became half.
Both.
Right? You don't just sit there and have cash all your life, right?
That's right.
So, I mean, who knows what percent? That percent is different for everybody. For some people, it might be 10%. For some people who have been frightened of this bull market all the way up, apparently it's 100%, you know. So it's all how much you can stand and your risk tolerance, you know. As you know, I'm not very conservative, so you can't ask me. You
know? Well, as you know, I am.
Yeah, and you are, so that's a big difference. So people are different, you know. And that's what I always say to people. You can't give advice across the board for everybody, you know, because everybody's different and they've got different situations in their life and they've got different ability to handle risk and how much risk they can handle. So,
well, Vic likes 60 stock, 40 bond.
Some people say that's what you should do all your life.
I like 40 stock, 60 bond or money market.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right now? I mean, would you have been since 2009, 40, 60?
Well, I've been wrong if you look at it that way, but I can sleep at night. Isn't that what it's all about?
And that makes you comfortable.
Right.
Right, yeah. So there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But, you know.
I don't want to need a new bridge or a new crown in my mouth and not have the cash to pay for it. And then the dentists go, we'll finance it for you, yeah, until the next tooth goes. So, you know how that is.
Yeah, that's what I say. You know, so each individual is different, and there's no, you know, one thing that fits all, one size that fits all for everybody. So give us a call. Phone line's wide open, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Maybe they're still doing Black Friday shopping.
Maybe they are.
Which I don't know why anybody would even be out, you know, because it helps the economy. I realize that the stores need it, you know, but you can do all your Black Friday online now. You know, you don't even have to go to a store if you don't want to. God forbid I said that.
You know, retailing pretty much took off.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's picking up, you know, and why that is, I don't know. Maybe people miss the feel of being able to shop in the store and, you know, actually handle the items. I don't know what it is, really. I don't know what the explanation is. But, you know, I noticed, like, even Abercrombie and Fitch, you know, has come back from the dead and looks like a good stock all of a sudden, you know.
And Dollar Tree looks great.
Yeah. A number of these go through cycles. I know in the case, like, of Abercrombie and Fitch, it just goes through a cycle, you know. They get killed. They go all the way back down. Then all of a sudden it comes back in favor and it goes back up again, you know. Why anybody pays prices like they charge, I don't know, but we won't go into that in real deep depth. But it works with the kids, you know, because they have to have the little thing on their clothes, you know, showing that they're in the in crowd, you know, with the Abercrombie and Fitch and so forth. So that's what keeps this consumer economy
going. Don't you remember when your daughter was 9?
Oh, yeah. No question about it, you know. When you get older, you know, you go to Walmart or you go to
the dollar store
places, right?
I like Ollie's. Ollie's my favorite store.
Yeah, there's another one. That's right. Exactly. So,
of course, you buy too much when you go to those places.
Probably these young
kids. It's only a buck.
Young
kids
never get caught dead buying something in one of these stores, you know, so no question about it. So apparently either they're out shopping or we're just so interesting that they don't want to make a call. You know, they just want to listen to what we have to talk about. But I know there was another article in Barron's talking about the infrastructure stocks and how they've been kind of laying there a little bit lately, although I don't think so. You know, one of the ones they liked is Caterpillar that could benefit if you ever get the infrastructure. But it looks like everybody knows that. That stock's been unbelievable.
Well, once the actual news comes out, then many times stocks are done.
Yeah, a lot of stocks that have run up in anticipation of all of this.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Looking at one stock to sell or hold, Teva. I've had it a long time. It's not doing well.
Yeah, I don't know. Were they trying? Are they doing any restructuring? Or
yeah, I think they're trying to find a new CEO last time.
Are they really?
Yeah. I don't really know exactly why they dropped so badly.
Well, T-E-V-O?
T-E-V-A, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Teva.
Teva.
Teva. And so I was wondering.
I watched that one and Mylon. They're both not doing great.
Right.
I think in general, the generic area has had its problems, you know, with the price competition and everything. I think the whole generic area has been hit.
And that's their big area.
Yep.
Well, I know that my wife, for example, doesn't want generics for what she has to take because she's convinced they don't work as well.
And
now she's got me.
It's interesting because my wife's very much on board with your wife on that, and I sometimes have to agree with that.
Well, I agree. And if you're lucky enough to go to Mexico, you can go into a drugstore there and generally get the generics. The name brand for peanuts, you know, without the insurance aid and all that.
Right. Assuming it's not a fake item.
Assuming.
Which is a big assumption.
Yep. Well, you have to go look.
It's like some of the gold they sell down there. It turns out to be stainless steel, you know. But anyway.
Okay.
So
do you think, Tivo?
Well, what you want to see is
a long-term holder of this.
Well, I'd like to see it get above its 50-day moving average, okay, which it hasn't been able to get above for months and months, all right? Mm-hmm. And it's getting close, all right?
Okay, so,
about 1465.
Yeah, it's
not. Yeah, okay, so you get above 1465, then you may see at least a move to the 200-day or where the big gap is, and that's in what area? Where's that red line? And
25.
About 25.
Oh, right. That would be great.
So, which would be nice, you know. So definitely want to see you taking out that 50-day, you know.
Okay. And you're close. You're a buck away.
Yeah, very close, and it's been coming off the bottom now. You know, it looks like it's built a little bit of a base, you know.
Right.
And what was the low on this thing anyway? I can't see on the chart.
Oh, I know.
Looks like $10. $10.
Yeah.
I mean, you're willing to accept it if, you know, it might drop back under 10, and then you say that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And the other one I did act on, that Viacom.
VIAB or VIA?
The whole area was doing poorly. And
yep.
They've been mismanaged for so long. So
I had it in an account, and I stopped it at 29.5. I got very discouraged.
Oh, that was a smart move.
Well, I paid 34. That wasn't a smart move, but
I'd let it drop lower than that. I was 20. What'd you sell it at?
29.5.
I think mine was 26. So.
You would call after I put a stop on it, you know.
Okay.
But if you read Battle for Investment Survival, Gerald Loeb, written in 1935, if you buy something and it starts not to work out, get out of it so you can keep a hold of your capital. And, you know, one of the problems we've had, you know, everybody has it, is, you know, it starts to go down, you don't want to sell. Maybe it'll come back, maybe it'll come back. The guys that were smart and got through the crash of 29, that was it. Started to get on them out. It didn't work. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, did you say you just bought it or you've had it all this time? Or
what's that, Viacom?
Yeah.
Oh, I was a long-term holder of that one, too.
Okay.
So I got out of it. I'm just trying to shed some of these stocks that I don't have a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. And then, you know, the other thing you have to, you know, which I have a hard time when everybody does, but yeah, always keep an eye on them. There may be a time to buy them again. You know, there's no question about it, you know.
Exactly.
So.
You know, Willard and Peter, you both have said sometimes you sell. I did it with CBS. I sold at 32.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a reasonable profit. No more sold it and shot up to 50-something within a month.
Yeah, see what happens is that's the problem with letting something go down and down and down.
Mm-hmm.
Because the odds are eventually when you sell it, it'll be the bottom, see? It's also the thing that keeps you in because you always think, if I sell, it's going to be the bottom. But waiting too long, okay, is going to cause you, you know, several times to sell the bottom, you know?
Yeah.
And that's usually because you and everybody else has finally given up, right? At that point, now you've gotten all the sellers out of the way, right? It's got no place to go but up again, you know. So don't let stuff go way down. You know, it makes it very difficult for your decision at that point. You know.
Okay, great. And once again, I want to give you your mic, your insurance, annuity, et cetera, fella.
Pretty smart guy.
Smart guy, very straightforward, honest, client-oriented, all those terms fit him.
Yeah, no question.
Well, he's been with us 30 years almost.
Amazing, that long.
And it's interesting. 1988, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Doesn't seem that old to me.
Yeah, I mentioned we have one client come in. She didn't even have insurance with us, but she was going over her mother's insurance.
Yeah.
And she got so intrigued by, you know, what he was saying about the insurance and all the different things. She ended up spending 3 hours with him, and he had the patience to in and out and teach her everything about insurance for 3 hours. It was unbelievable.
With no payday.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, just amazing.
Well, that's him.
Yep, that's the way he is.
That pays off in the long
term. Oh, no question. Yeah, no question about it. But he's very client-oriented, and he wants to really help people out, unlike some other people in the insurance industry. So
mostly the bankers.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I didn't name a banker.
I'll mention Bankston. I got a story on that one recently, but I won't go into it.
You should see the stories I hear when people come in.
Yeah,
what's that the book out there, the War on Cash?
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting in terms of how they view banks as the watchdog for the government now, you know.
That could be. That could be.
An interesting concept, and at times it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but there are times it rings true to me, you know.
Well, there's something, too, that, you know, there was a book it may be the Hamilton hoax or whatever it is, but they explained how the government, it was supposed to go toward the Jeffersonian model, right?
Right.
Keeping government out of everything, and the states ran things, and you didn't have this big centralized banking operation and so forth.
Right.
And somehow the Hamiltonian model won, right? Where we had big government, big banking and everything, handling everything, you know, and that's the way it's been, unfortunately, from the beginning, you know, so.
And for your area, big time.
Oh, yeah, no question.
So. Well, when they repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, 96, 97, that was the kiss of death.
That was. Well, you're absolutely right.
And people walk in and they believe. A lady came in to see me. She was 84. Husband had died. She had $1 million farm and $1 million in assets. She went to who she thought was a good attorney. The attorney took advantage. The CPA, recommended by the attorney, took advantage. And one of the local banks did something called unauthorized trading against her wishes. I said, listen, I'm going to give you some sound advice. Get a whole bunch of new advisors.
Exactly.
And she wasn't a client. She wanted advice.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we can thank Clinton time for that anyway.
Yes.
not the Clinton,
that's right.
but certainly Congress and everything.
Well, we won't get too political. Right.
Well, that's a fact.
Right, it is a fact, even though people won't recognize it.
I mean, that Glass-Steagall was for a reason, and they just blew it apart.
Yeah. Well, I won't hold you up anymore.
Thank you.
We've
got Dennis on the line real quick. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate the call.
Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. Thanks for that wonderful tip on BABA. Now, when do I get out?
I could study that over the weekend for you.
Did it get hit with the Chinese stocks last week? Or?
Not really.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That hang up, Ray. That's impressive.
I mean, I'm holding on so far.
Last 6 weeks, it's been up to, you know, 180, 185.
I told you when you called in a few weeks ago, I had a target of 250 on it. That could be 230 or 260, but I don't know if it's this round, but no, I don't know. They're into everything. They're into gaming. They're into they sponsor one of the PayPal-type companies. And the guy's a genius. Have you ever seen him on TV? Jack Ma, his name is.
Yeah, he's a sharp guy.
Smart guy. Very smart. I mean, I'm not a seller.
Go ahead.
You know, one we missed, Peter, was A.O. Smith.
A.O. Smith. What's it, A.O.S.? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it really? I don't know.
No, it's...
What's the symbol on that?
I thought it was A.O.
A.O., maybe? I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, we missed that.
I miss a lot of things, believe me.
Because of the floods and whatnot? Yep. How many houses?
Oh, okay.
How water heaters?
You don't know what?
And it went up. It's up, you know, almost 10 points.
Yeah, it's another one of those plays on the floods and the hurricane, right?
Yeah. I was just sitting there. I was reading about, you know, the floods and the recovery, and I said, what does every one of these houses have? Hot water heater.
There you go. That's right. Holy cow. Yeah. Who would ever think about it, right?
You still got URI?
Luke? I do.
Hold on to it.
I think
haven't
it keeps
got to the sweet spot yet.
Well, I'll rely on you for that, and I'll do some work on Baba for you.
That sounds good. All right, I just wanted to.
Well, appreciate the call. Glad we could get you in there.
Very nice.
I'm out of here.
Oh,
Tuesday,
back to Florida. Yep.
Yep. Be back in March.
All right, Dennis. Thanks, thank you, boys. Thanks for the call. Well, as the show comes to an end, we always say. We're on every Saturday morning, the Dollar Doctors from 10 to 11, rebroadcast from 12 to 1. And as we always say, keep a little powder dry and good night and good luck.
You've been listening to the Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.